If you recall, when America intervened in Libya and became part of the Allied coalition, the president made it very clear that we were doing it for humanitarian reasons.
Some nations may be able to turn a blind eye to atrocities in other countries. The United States of America is different. And as president, I refuse to wait for the images of slaughter and mass graves before taking action.
Is that realistic, though? Is there such a thing as a humanitarian war? Or is it a contradiction of terms? The United States has a long history of using these moral reasons to convince the nation that war was the only option. But it seems that the entire world is using humanitarian as an excuse more and more often. Maybe not an excuse. Maybe it's a valid reason. Joining us now to kind of weigh those two things is Tom Ricks, senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security and contributing editor at Foreign Policy Magazine, where he writes the blog The Best Defense. Tom, am I wrong? Am I nuts? Or does it seem like we're getting more and more of these humanitarian interventions?
There's always been a history of interventions by the United States, and you're right. For example, Woodrow Wilson or the interventions in Central America were justified in their own time as humanitarian interventions. The Spanish-American War, which in retrospect was a war of imperial conquest, was justified on the humanitarian terms. Now, I support the Libyan intervention. I actually think it was the right thing to do. I think it is actually an intervention for humanitarian reasons. That said, I think war is a horrible thing. And humanitarian war is a stomach-wrenching contradiction.
But just on top of the Libyan intervention, which was humanitarian reasons, then we have news that overnight in Ivory Coast, the UN and France started bombing Laurent Gbagbo's forces for humanitarian reasons as well.
Well, it does. I mean, what France is doing smacks of gunboat diplomacy, which is intervening basically because you can. Now, the problem with these things is in the short term, they tend to look pretty good, like the right thing to do, but they do tend to get you bogged down in places, and you find that you're actually not just trying to change the political situation, you're trying to change the culture, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, we're speaking with Tom Ricks. He's a senior fellow at the Center for New American Security and writes the Best Defense blog for Foreign Policy Magazine. Tom, I want to play you this comment from retired Colonel Peter Mansour. He's probably one of thousands of voices of people who don't entirely buy the humanitarian war excuse. Here's his comment.
We're involved because our European allies are threatened by what's happening. They could be inundated with waves of refugees. The oil that Libya ships to Italy has been cut off, and chaos in the North African littoral affects Europe. You know, we can say that we're there for humanitarian reasons, but I think that if you look deep down, we're there for political reasons.
Can that be said of any military action that's done for humanitarian reasons?
I actually think we are there for humanitarian reasons, but as Colonel Mansour points out, there are other reasons to be there. And that's one reason you make distinctions. You don't intervene everywhere where horrible things are happening. You intervene where you can, where there are reasons to do so, and where you think you can have an effect. I think President Obama genuinely did not want to stand by and let the city of Benghazi be massacred. He did not want this to be the Srebrenica of his watch. And it would have been worse than Srebrenica because we would have been seen to encourage this situation. I think it really would have been a permanent blot on his presidency and would have made any foreign policy moves by him look terrifically hypocritical. I think it's important to go back to his speech and look at the speech he gave about a week ago at National Defense University and look at that last paragraph or so where he talked about freedom. And that was the context in which he sought to put the Libyan intervention. Basically, Obama said, we're getting on the freedom train. He specifically invoked the American Revolution and then somewhat discreetly invoked American abolitionism with his reference to the North Star, which is the name of Frederick Douglass's newspaper.
Sure.
I took that speech as a powerful message to Saudi Arabia, which is time is not on your side, and guess what? Uncle Sam isn't either. Hmm. I thought that whole speech was a message to the Saudi Arabians, which is you're going to need to change. You can do it the hard way, you can do it the easier way, but you're going to have to change. And that's one reason I think that Defense Secretary Gates is heading back to Saudi Arabia today, which is to say, guys, don't sit here and wait for the tidal wave to roll over you. Try to get ahead of this. Make some changes. And I think that was entirely what's going on. It wasn't just about Libya. It wasn't just about an intervention. It was, if Saudi Arabia descends into violent revolution, that will hurt the world economy and probably throw us into a depression. So there's a few medieval guys in Saudi Arabia who have their hands on the future of the world economy, and they're not handling it very well.
And they're also standing in the way of the U.S. taking this high moral ground in some sense. Tom Ricks, a senior fellow at the Center for the New American for a New American Security and contributing editor of Foreign Policy magazine. In some ways, America is viewed as the power behind the scenes, and though we may politically intervene and call it humanitarian grounds to try to get this high moral ground and credibility, a lot of people in the Middle East are very cynical. Look at the situation in Bahrain, where people believe that the U.S. actually supports the status quo at the behest of the Saudis, and that Gates' presence in Saudi Arabia is only affirmation of that.
Well, it is a problem. Bahrain, to many people, looks like a proxy war between the Saudis and the Iranians. And neither side has covered themselves in glory there, the Iranians or the Saudis. I actually have a lot of sympathy with the Bahraini protesters. This is a situation that really requires, I think, nuance, and I think Obama has brought that to the situation. Remember, though, here's a president who has lived in a dictatorship. He lived in Indonesia as a kid. I remember reading some interviews with him when he was a senator. He has no time for dictatorship, for despots. I think we have a president who viscerally feels this, who has seen colonialism and imperialism from the other end of it.
But Tom Ricks, we can't intervene everywhere. So don't we also get ourselves into a problem with those who are fighting maybe a tyrant or a despot, and we will do nothing?
I think we should do nothing in some places. You don't act if you don't think you can have an effect, if you don't understand the situation well enough, if you're not sure quite who the people you're working with are. I think Libya was not a slam dunk case. It was a 51-49% case in which I think he made the right decision. Do we want to intervene in the Arab revolutions generally? Absolutely not. This is a wonderful thing that's happening in the Arab world. In the short term, it's going to lead to some real turmoil. But yeah, you got to let the Arabs determine their own fates.
Tom Ricks, a senior fellow at the Center for New American Security, contributing editor at Foreign Policy magazine, where he writes the blog The Best Defense. Thanks once again, Tom.
You're welcome.
You can weigh on this. Is the idea of a humanitarian war credible, or is it something that's kind of a contradiction in terms? Let us know what you think. 877-8 My Take.